Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
Here we go. Recording in progress. I wish we were recording earlier. We were making fun of North Korea. That was pretty funny.
Don't we have enough enemies at this point?
I know. Well, and I was looking at the Vibe Tribe worldwide map, and I did notice Korea. And I always have to check. Maybe someone in North Korea is tuning in. Just some, you know, pirate radio setup, but no. Nothing yet. All the usual suspects.
I always picture the South Park episode or the movie, I'm Ronry.
Oh, so Ronry. Team America. God, what a movie was.
Yep.
So Ronry. Well, we were feeling bad because the world's going crazy, right? You know, Russia's pounced on Ukraine. We expect China to pounce on Taiwan. And here's little Kim in North Korea launching missiles into the Sea of Japan. Like, guys, I'm dangerous. I'm still, hey, what, over here. We feel bad for the little guy. Like, oh, poor little Kim. I'm still dangerous. And we were like, he's like a little bulldog, a little Frenchie. Like, oh, come here. I know, buddy. You're so mean.
You're so scary.
So scary, little guy. All right, go play. Go away.
Gosh, it's so true. Well, awesome. This cough's still here, man. I'm telling you, Chinese thing won't go away. So, you know, we thought we'd get off a little of the topic of current events. We've been on that for a bit. You know, we thought we'd want to dive back into something that Clark and I talk about here or there. You know, we've experienced our ups and downs, have had our trials and tribulations.
Our ins and outs.
Hey now. We're going to talk about failure. And, you know, what's interesting to failure is you know, a lot of the things we see on IG or other people, be it peak performers or alphas out there, you know, they're always saying it's not an option, and they, you know, beat their chest to that, and that really could be the cover of the book. But a lot of times people don't want to talk about the story, what's in the book. It's because the reality is, when failure is really the story of growth and learning, and we want to talk about on how not to take it really that seriously and it won't kill you. Right, Clark?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great topic, and I'm glad we're discussing it, because I've been listening to the audiobook called Unfuck Yourself, and he has some interesting points about, you know, what it means to succeed, what really is failure. And the one thing that I've picked up and I agree with is that we are wired to win as a species, as human beings. We're wired to win, and I think if most people realize that, and you kind of trust in your animal instincts when it comes to really even just day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we just constantly want to succeed. We constantly want to improve. There's just something that separates us from other animals on the planet. And I think sometimes we get in our own way when it comes to success.
Yeah.
If we learn to get out of our own way and just kind of, I'm a big fan of go with the flow type stuff. Anytime I've tried to succeed, it seems to be in the wrong way. I'm hitting this wall. But then when I just surrender myself to the universe, I tend to kind of flow around that obstacle and end up in a better place. And we've talked about that type of stuff in the past. But I think the important thing to highlight is, like, well, what is success? I know, through social media and through Hollywood and other aspects of our society, success is measured in the amount of wealth that you've accumulated and hoarded. It's in the type of car you drive. It's in how your body looks.
Yep.
And one of the points the guy had in the book that I like, he loves food like I do.
Oh, yeah.
So he likes to exercise like I do, but I'm not trying to get a six-pack abs because I know what it takes to do that, and I'm not willing to just have that type of diet. You know, on movie nights, on Friday nights, fuck, last night, if I told you guys what I ate, you'd probably get diabetes. I mean, it's pretty bad, but I enjoy it. That's my guilty pleasure. Like, and I bust my ass Monday through Friday, and I meal prep, I eat clean, I ruck run, I lift, I go to JITS class, I do all these things. But on the weekend is my dietary fuck it button.
Yeah.
I'm going to let my hair down and enjoy some pleasures in life. And my goal is just not look like a pregnant dude, just to have a flat stomach, but not ripped. I want to just have a normal male body. But I've also always been focused on performance, not looks. Even at my physical peak in the teams, I still wasn't ripped, but I was worried about performance.
Sure.
Can I run? Can I lift? Can I climb shit, fall off shit, whatever? So I think it's important to define what success is. Now, for me, I like to exercise, but I also like to have some guilty pleasures with food. Also with finances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm not broke and I'm not rich.
And you could always get another Boba Fett helmet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did buy something really stupid. It's going to take about 2 months, and I don't want to spoil it, but...
Oh, I can't wait.
I posted something on Instagram, and I immediately said, let me just do a quick search, and I found this item. I'm like, God damn it, and I had it in the little shopping cart, and then I got off the website. I'm like, don't do it, bro, and I got a second time, and I'm like, no, I mean, right at checkout, I got rid of it.
Yep.
And then the third time, I'm like, all right, fuck it. Jerky. Yeah, you've fucking been here three times. Just buy the fucking thing already. And it's the dumbest purchase ever.
No. Without telling me, okay.
No. I'd have to call you up. We have to coordinate
Please,
that.
You we can't, do.
Hey, what good's a lightsaber if it's just you? You need a lightsaber buddy, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nice to be able to have just enough to kind of, you know, I'm sure some financial planner would be like, you're an idiot. But you know what? It makes me happy. I'm also not willing to work 100 or 120 hours a week and sacrifice family time. You know,
that's
for me,
real good point.
Success is having enough money to pay the bills, having just a little bit saved away. Not enough, obviously. Is it ever enough? Probably
well,
not.
Who can within
but I also spend time with my family, though.
Yes.
I mean, that's you have to bracket that in there. If you're going to be some high powered CEO, you're going to be
that's tough
traveling away from your family. I mean, it takes. These levels of commitment, I know because I sacrificed my family throughout my early adult careers in the military, contracting, even law enforcement.
Oh, yeah.
I was so focused on the job and getting better at it and training courses and range time. My family was probably not even second place, probably way down on the rung, fourth or fifth or sixth place. I'm surprised mm-hmm. they were even top 10, whereas now they are first and everything yeah. else is second to that. So I feel like I'm more successful nowadays because for the first time in my life, just recently, my family is my priority.
Yeah.
So you don't see that much on social media. You don't see that coming out of Hollywood. I mean, you know, somebody super successful like The Rock. Well, how much time does he really spend with his kids or his, yeah. you know what I mean? It's there's a give and take to all this stuff.
Well, I think you're bringing up something that's kind of important here is, sometimes people spread themselves so thin, you actually can't be successful in things. Mm-hmm. You just can't. So you're almost setting up for a certain failure. You know, mm-hmm. I told you when we talked, some of the best advice I ever got is, you know, hey, pick three things you want to be great at because mm-hmm. it, you know, science has proven and, you know, they've done these things where, you know, anything more than three, you're just going to be overwhelmed. So, you know, to your point, you know, okay, are you going to be a good father? Boom, there's one. Yeah. Do you care about your health? You want to work out? Boom, there's two. Then fill in three. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be your job? But anything past the three,
yeah,
you just can't. Good point.
Yeah.
You can't. And
you try to wear too many hats, I think.
You do. And I think we have to define that what we're talking about failure here is there's a difference between failure and giving up. A massive difference. You know, failing is just saying, okay, fuck it. I'm not going to do this again. Not even willing to try it again. That is failing. I'm sorry. That's giving up. Failing is saying, okay, I did something wrong. What do I need to do to get better? How do I move forward? You know, learn and attack again. And I think you saw this. And this is such a prime example for anyone that's gone through buds or selection or things like this is you see plenty of guys ring the bell. But the difference is the guys that never return to try again, they gave up. The
oh,
guys that
sure.
ring the bell and return, they may have failed that class, but they show up again and they improve themselves to earn the trident.
You come back better and stronger. And
yes.
you're right. The only failure really is quitting. And the thing about quitting is once you quit, it gets easier. And
oh,
then you
yeah.
just become a habitual quitter. Any bump in the road, you just want to throw in the towel. And it just, the longer you stick with something, the better you get at it, whether it's coming back for buds a second time, or some people get stuck
in a med role
where they're there for a year trying to get back in. And, but those are the guys you want. Mm-hmm. You know, there was an expression I like. They taught us, we're not looking for the guy that crosses the finish line first. We're looking for the guy that will cross the finish line every time, no matter what, guaranteed.
That's awesome.
Even if you just crawl on your belly 4 hours beyond the time limit, but you didn't quit. You just crawled because your leg fell off. You just made it, you know?
That's another good example, because, you know, maybe someone would look at themselves like, I didn't finish in the top 10. I failed. Mm-hmm. No, you didn't fail because you didn't give up, and you still finished. You still finished the evolution. Yeah. You still crossed the line.
Even if you're out of your boundaries for your time, they still want to see that, because a lot of people will just stop and say, well, I failed. I'm out of, and they'll get in the truck and they quit. They don't. Right. They want the dude that's like, no, I'm not getting in the truck. I don't care about the time. This is not about the time. This is about me completing the evolution.
Yes.
That's what they're looking for. They can work with that, because you can make someone a better runner, better swimmer, do more pushups. Point. The hard part is you can't instill that desire to keep going no matter what. And that's the guy they're looking for. You might not realize it necessarily at the time, even though they tell you, but that's huge when you put that in perspective with other things in your life. A quick story. The other day, my daughter got her ass handed to her in jiu-jitsu class. Just, she had to spar with some tough hombres, and there's one chick is like some professional rodeo chick. The other chick was like a 35-year-old mom with mom strength and shit.
Yeah,
and she got mopped. Yeah, she got mopped up on the mats, and she was so distraught from it. You know, I could tell, almost wanting to throw in the towel. And I said, sweetie, we all have days like that. Sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail, and it doesn't matter. It could be at work. It could be in, you know, jits class, it could be in the weight room,
anything.
It could be financially, you take a heavy blow, you know, air conditioning unit shits a bed, and you got to cough up 10 grand for a new unit.
Right.
But you got to push through that stuff. And the very next class, she got a little promotion. She got a stripe and she was elated.
See?
And I said, see, had you quit that time that you got your ass handed to you, like a lot of people would, now you're on the other end of it. You got a promotion and you're on cloud nine. You're high as a kite. This is amazing. And she really realized. And I think a lot of young people, once there's a bump in the road, they want to be like, oh, fuck this. I can't do it.
Yep.
But as parents, especially community leaders, teachers, you got to motivate these young people to keep at it.
Well, that's a good point. And that's why we were talking about this, because we do know we have some younger listeners, and it's really that perception of failure. And again, because we've seen the people beat their chest on social media and these things saying, you know, failure is terrible. Guys, they're explaining failure wrong. Okay. Failure is not terrible. Giving up is terrible. But yeah, I mean, look at Edison. One of my favorite quotes or favorite stories is he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. He just learned, you know, 1,000 steps to invent a light bulb. That's the truth. You know, your daughter, okay, if people who start jiu-jitsu, if they're going to fail a million times to learn a move.
Oh, dude.
A million.
It's never ending. Yeah.
But as long as they don't give up, because if they go to the next class, they're going to get better. So, you know, these people beating their chest saying, yo, failure's enemy, never fail, never think. No, that's they're not understanding.
Failure's
the real
where
meaning.
The growth occurs. It's
well,
where, and like we'd said, it's, you know, the definition of success is all about perspective. That's the same thing flip side with failure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if there's no successful person on the planet that will tell you, I've never had any failures. I crushed a home run the first time.
I'd be scared of that person if that
doesn't happen. He's either lying to you or he's a trust fund baby or something.
Yeah.
Any successful person, whether it's an athlete like Mike Tyson or Tony Robbins, some millionaire dude, whatever it is, they will all tell you in the early days, got my ass handed to me. And if they're honest, and a lot of guys are honest about their story, and they do, success is really the end result of a string of failures, but they just didn't give
100%.
Up. The first business failed. The second business failed. Whatever, you know, the motivational speaker, they had one person attend their first conference and then two and then five and then nobody. And then, you know, they just kept going.
Well, the thing is, like you're saying, if as long as you're not willing to give up, you got to look at failure as the ultimate teacher. And it's the truth. Failure is your personal coach, and it is really the ultimate teacher. And you know, so you could say, okay, what did I do wrong? Where can I improve? What did I learn? I think the irony, though, is we constantly hear in society that, you know, look to surround yourself with winners, you know, and you blah, 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 and stuff like that. But the fact is, what people don't educate and talk about is those winners that you surround themselves with, each one of them,
they're former losers.
Exactly. They've been in the trenches, they've survived battle, and they've come out the other side to have experiences and perseverance. So
absolutely,
you know, that's what's kind of missing. These young people are hearing this, these advices and these adage of, you know, do this, but you're not giving them the complete picture. Yes, you should surround yourself with more successful people and winners, but don't be distracted by saying, oh, he's got the Ferrari, he's got the big house, he's got this.
Oh, yeah.
You should say, okay, sir, ma'am, tell me how you failed, where you failed, and what did you learn from it? Because that's what I want to learn.
I want to know how people started, what they overcame, because the end result's obvious. Whatever, you know what I mean? It's like the first time I was able to talk to a SEAL, I didn't ask him what his deployments were like. I asked him what BUDS was like, or how did you get into BUDS? Or those are the questions I had, because really that's the next step for anyone starting on that journey. And it's important to realize you don't win or lose, you win or learn. If you put it in that perspective, then it's not a loss. You know, it's, you're going to learn something. That you lose a fight, you lose a race, whatever it is, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from those situations.
Great point. Yeah. And I think if people were to start reframing that, this is the word. So you have two options. You either give up or learn.
Yeah.
Don't even say fail. You know, it's either I didn't fail, I learned. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're either going to learn or you're going to throw in the towel. And it, God, that could be with anything. It could be with your studies. It could be with your job. It could be, you know,
romantic relationship, whatever it is. You know, you're trying to date this person and the first date didn't go so well, so maybe you talk to some buddies, you get some ideas, and you do things differently, you do things better. That's the whole thing about, you know, well, growing your game. You know, whatever it is you're trying to do, you develop new strategies and say, well, this didn't work, and so now I'm going to try this, this, and this. And then you take notes, you know, of what worked, what didn't work.
You believe in this universal path, and I do too. Like, there's someone always guiding you. And I feel, and I know you feel the same thing too, and like to hear your thoughts more on it. It's kind of like, you know, when you're put in these situations, so like, okay, you're a SEAL, and it's, I feel like when you've gotten enough learnings, okay, it made you a better person, but now it's time, we need to put you over here. Okay, because we want to make you more well-rounded. You know, if there's a path for people not to have a solo career path, like to be a, you know, there's people that will retire from the military, and that maybe that's their path. But I think that people that don't have that path where they're more meant to be, okay, you need to experience this, you need to experience this, you need to experience this, and that tends to be, you know, like people like you, there are people like me, and then we know people where, hey, they're lifers in certain careers, and that's their path. And that's fine.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, some people just find their passion and they devote their whole life to it, whether it be music, the military, whatever it may be. And they're lucky, because I think the problem why a lot of people are unhappy is they're not doing what they're meant to do. Mm-hmm. They're not doing their passion. And I know you can't always do that, because maybe your passion doesn't make money. Maybe your passion's to write poetry and it's just not a moneymaker. Well, you can still do it on your own time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not every passion is a moneymaker, but you still have to do it to fulfill your life. You know what I mean? To get that energy to allow you to do other things. But even work-wise, anytime my job has stopped being fun, I do something else, because I would look around me at people in any job I've had that were miserable. And I'm thinking, well, why are they doing it? They hate their job so much. Now, I get it. Just because you have a bad day doesn't mean that you quit and move on. But if you're miserable doing something, any relationship, the business relationship, intimate relationship, whatever it is, at some point, what I've learned, and it sounds a little selfish, but it's not. If you're not happy, how can you make others happy?
Yeah, and we had.
And
Greg,
if you're
on.
Miserable doing something, then what is that for your mental health? And what are you doing for the people around you? You're pissed off. You're disgruntled. Yep. You're negative. You know, I know, especially as a cop, man. All these 20-year dudes, fuck this and fuck that, and they fucking hate the world. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, maybe you should do something else, man. I mean, I know you're trying to get to retirement, but the stress you're under, you're going to die day after retirement. Like, I've never understood why people stay in miserable situations. And that's not quitting. The way I looked at it is I'm moving on to something better. I'm evolving.
Right.
And I look back on my life, I'm very nomadic, but I see that as a growth process, you know, kind of the caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. I'm not going to just stay, you know, I wasn't happy eventually in the military. So I said, look, it's time to move on. I'd rather have this as a happy chapter in my life.
There you go.
But I've learned a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And I can take that with me to the next step.
Yes.
That's not just quitting. That's saying, hey, I'm ready to evolve into the next version of myself. Kind of, I'm ready to come out of my cocoon and be something different.
That's right. You take
that's a nomadic way.
Yeah. You take what you learn and apply it. And I think, you know, again, having Greg on, which we had a couple of weeks ago, was a good point, I guess. Through one lens, people would say, oh, look, you know, he failed at being a cop. No, he didn't. He did not give up being a cop. He basically said, look, he evolved. I learned and I'm going on to improve. And I think a lot of people get stuck because, unfortunately, there's the truth where people have that fear of failing or they don't want to aim for success because
it's the fear of the unknown, the fear of change. Yes. They have their security blanket, right?
That's
like, I'm in this career 20 years, I get retirement.
Yep.
Guys that are constantly seeking to improve themselves are like, dude, I don't need this safety net. There's no real safety net in life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to seek opportunity and adventure. I have to have some sense of adventure. Like, even now as a safety guy, my sense of adventure is I get to drive out in the woods to a different work site every day. It's almost like a little camping trip.
I know.
I get in my little truck and I drive up in the hills and the views oftentimes are breathtaking. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Dude, I'm just jealous that you get to piss outside every day.
No one yells at you.
It's like great.
I've even dropped some deuces out in the wild too, man. You got to, man. Yeah.
A forest deuce? Dude, those are special.
I'm always looking over my shoulder for Sasquatch though. I'm like, dude, don't attack me now, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I got my pants down. You know? Right.
Not now.
Or finally the bear.
Yeah, oh God, dude.
You do. In California, you do got to watch out for them.
I know. Well, we get to some remote areas, I'm like, oh, shit.
Fuck.
Dude. Yeah.
I know you. You're ready for it.
There's always a little bag of tricks.
There's always a bag of tricks. But to your point, you're right that, you know, failure is only fatal for those that either never try or are not willing to try again, right?
Absolutely. Well, we just kind of highlighted it. Sorry to interrupt, but.
No, please.
Choosing to move on or choosing to do things differently is not failure, because a lot of people will look at that. Like you just said, they'll look at Greg leaving the police department, me leaving the police department.
Sure.
You deciding to move on to better pastures is a very different step. And it might look kind of physically the same. Well, you stopped this and then you went over here and did this. So you quit this. And it's very important to distinguish the difference of deciding. It's like deciding to get out of a bad relationship.
Yes.
You're an abusive relationship. It's not quitting. That's doing the right thing. It's like quitting heroin. It's not really quitting. That's moving on to a healthier lifestyle. Like, you have Amen. To, the way you frame these words are very important. You know, it's technically, it's the same thing. You're stopping this and then you're starting this, but the motivation behind it is way to, it's for self-improvement. It's for, you know what I mean? There's a way to look at this.
No, very, very good point.
You just can't shoot it down by saying, well, how did you not just quit the police department? You know, you have to look at it as, I decided to maneuver like a game of chess. I'm trying to stay two steps, three steps ahead. And I see this coming down the road. And so you make your move.
No, I think bringing up the word thing is very interesting, because one of my favorite sayings is, you know, your words become your actions and your actions become your habits, right? So even saying that I failed out loud is fucking terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of be like, oh, you know, holy shit, man, I just learned something. Imagine the difference of those two phrases to your own mental health, or even your, you know, if you believe in that positive vibe thing. I mean, there's the good energy in one of the statements, and then there's the shit energy.
It's
definitely the way we talk to each other and to ourselves. I think it's interesting that you brought up the dudes or dudettes that are in the situations of retirement. I think it's tough. A lot of people put such a prize at years away. It could be retirement. It could be, oh, you know, I'm building a company. I'll sell the company 10 years from now, or et cetera, et cetera. What they're failing to realize is time is our biggest commodity. So if you're not happy for X amount of years doing something, uh-huh. then all of a sudden you think you're going to be happy at either retirement or selling your company or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what? 9 out of 10 people I talk to, nothing changes. They're still miserable.
No. And think about this. If you're in a 20-year career to get some shitty retirement and you're miserable the whole time, what's that doing to your health?
That's physical exactly
health,
right.
Mental health. The average, I could be off on this, but I think the average cop dies within 3 years of retirement nationwide. So what good's your retirement if you deal with 20 years plus of stress and shit?
Making yourself sick.
Internal investigations. You're making yourself sick. Mm-hmm. I know I was eating gas station food at 3 a.m, sitting in a car, getting blood clots in your fucking legs, too tired to go to the gym. Everyone's overweight. Is it worth it to get some shitty fucking retirement, half of your salary, your top three for, you know, dude, you can keep that. If I'm going to be dead 3 years after I fucking retire from Phoenix, Phoenix can suck a fat one. You know, no thanks.
Well, that
I'd rather be alive and poor than have this badass retirement and be dead in 3 years because of the stress. No thanks, man. But same with the military.
Yeah.
All these deployments. You know, I got a buddy that's got a shit ton of deployments, multiple knee surgeries. Mm-hmm. And I think after he retired a chief, I want to say after it's all said and done, he gets like $1,400 a month. You went through 20 years of shit, multiple surgeries, a shit ton of deployments. The dude walks around like he's 80 because his back's fucked up and his knee. I mean,
and it can only buy about 20 gallons of gasoline right now. So,
dude, probably, yeah, it's not even, man. But I mean, honestly, it's enough. It pays his mortgage and his truck. That's it. I mean, okay, that's great. But fuck, I mean, look at you, dude. I mean, you're in your 40s and you walk around like fucking an old Yoda, man.
That's why, again, I think, and it's interesting to see you through this journey, and again, I've known you for years and watching this, and how you've kind of reframed this time perspective as a commodity. Like you said, is your younger days full of, you know, piss and vinegar. Family was, you know, number 10, even if it was on number,
it might not even have been top 10, right. Sadly
but,
enough. You know?
But now seeing where family first is your creed.
I love it, dude. I feel like the wealthiest person on the planet, man. Just, I look forward to, you know, the weekends and spend time, and even the evenings when I get home, it's still fun and help with homework and all this other stuff. Yeah. It's such a shift that I just didn't give a shit before. I was so caught up in whatever rat race I thought I was in that I was really shitting on what's important.
But you know, it's interesting too, this because, you know, I'm sure you could beat yourself up if you wanted to and use the wrong framework, being like, oh man, I failed as a father. I failed as a husband. I failed. But no, you didn't, because you've taken all of what you've learned.
Well, I look at where I'm at now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so exactly.
You didn't fail and you didn't give up.
I had to learn from some tough lessons. Yeah.
Very tough lessons. And I think what's so cool about it now is the minute you wake up and you recognize that time is our biggest commodity, because again, it's finite. That's it. That's the law.
The older you get, the more you're aware of it.
The more you're aware of it. So it's almost like, you know, every minute, every hour, every day, every month.
It's precious.
It's precious. And it's like, who am I going to spend it with? What am I going to do? It's like you said, you know, fuck it. You had the fuck it button. You wanted to eat your cake this weekend. Do it, bro.
I'm going to. Yeah.
Go eat, you know, eat cake burgers, because you know, why wouldn't you want to enjoy that moment? It's not like you're gluttonous. Yeah. You do it every hour of every day.
No, right? It's very choreographed. I have very specific times when that's okay, but you have to a lot those times. You have to be normal. In fact, there's a quote, I wish I could pull it up. Zach Galifianakis has a good quote about success, and that people don't oftentimes realize that a part of success is relaxing, enjoying.
Oh yeah,
like slow the fuck up. And what good's $1 million or 10 million or a billion if you never get to enjoy it? If all you're doing is fucking working, at what point do you not bracket in some downtime, some major downtime, where you can just be human and live and be lazy? It's not always about running 500 fucking miles and just whatever. Life to me is, I guess being born in Colorado, I always got that inner hippie. Dude, you gotta take time to smell the fucking flowers. You know what I mean? You gotta relax. You gotta, and even in my workout routine, I have very planned days where I don't do shit. And that is to rebuild and recharge and keep things in perspective. Because if you're always chasing that carrot, you're always going for retirement, you're always going for that next
You're not living.
You're driving through life 100 miles an hour. And you don't see shit. You're just focused, tunnel vision on whatever goal it is that you want. And then oftentimes you just said it, when you get to that goal, it's disappointing. There's a lot of people that are successful that are unhappy. Well, why is that?
Well, it's you're living your life to obtain this idea or dream, but you're actually not living your life in the present. Yeah. Right,
you need to live life to live your life.
It is, and
you're living someone else's life, most likely in the pursuit of your. A lot of people take advantage of that along the way.
And I think it's actually gotten harder, probably the past decade as technology has emerged. There's so many distractions to take you away from the humanity of just being humble and realizing to live for today, because you're so inundated with such bullshit and nonsense.
False images. Yeah. Exactly. False images of body types, of wealth, of cars.
It's fucked up, man. It really is. Cause it used to be, I mean, this silly thing is, you know, you would know maybe a couple people where, you know, man, they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. We've now become a society.
The whole social media. And you see these fads just trickle around social media, and it's just this copycat culture. But it's the same thing with lifestyle choices. Or, you know, there's a dude I follow on Instagram. I won't mention him, but he posted a picture of he and his wife and his kid walking down the beach. And I thought, that's life. That right there, that's a rich man. Yes. Right there. He's out in nature with his family. He's not exiting his Ferrari, getting on his personal plane.
Nope.
He's just walking down the beach with his wife and kid. That's a rich man. That's what's zen. Important.
I love
it. It is. And we've gotten so far away from that because that photo will get like 3 likes. But Captain Lamborghini and private helicopter dude will get like 50,000 likes. And it's like, why? What?
I don't know, man. Where we're at. And hopefully through this show.
Look how many followers like Dan Bilzerian has. Why? To me, that's a very cheap, shallow life.
Yep.
And I'm not bagging on the guy. I don't know him personally. But it seems pretty shallow to me. I mean, he doesn't have any meaningful relationships. He's got to be surrounded by sharks constantly trying to take a piece of what he's doing, or these bimbos. And it's just gross to me, dude. I'm just like, dude, you can keep that. I will trade my life with movie night and my family for nobody compared to that. You can keep that lifestyle of your private jets and your bimbos and your coke habit or whatever it is you got going on. I'll stick with my chocolate and potato chip habit and my wife and kid watching Freddy Krueger movies.
Well, the funny thing is a lot of people put out this perception that they have this lifestyle and they've never failed. And they don't.
Sure.
But the sad thing is when you start peeling the layers, or, you know, if you know some of these people, you've talked to people, the ultimate failure is it's not even failure, because it's not like they're learning, and it's not like they're giving up. They're just stuck in this, like we said, they have to keep the facade going, and the facade becomes the beast, a false message.
I got to keep fueling it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes them sad and depressed.
Keep the act alive. Well, you and I have talked about people that they have like a character version of themselves. It's not the real them. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that I know. When I was new to Instagram, I met a guy, and I won't name, but he was the first guy that I saw on social media, but got to know in person. It was two different people. And I thought, that's fucking weird. Little did I know how common that was on social media. Mm-hmm. I just thought this dude was a weirdo. And then as I got to know more people, and you see this, the one thing that I have always been proud about, and in fact, my boy Steve just posted something that I'm the same motherfucker on social media as I am in person, you know, whatever.
That's
but it was like,
that's
but
honest, no,
I love
truth.
People like that. Yeah. You know, people that are just fucking genuine people. And
yes,
they put whatever you want out on social media. It's your account. But I get so tired of just this false bravado and this pro wrestler version of people and the way they talk and the way they act. And it's just so gross to me, it's so common. That's what baffles me.
I would like to see more sincerity, to be honest with you, because as we know, you know, be it us or real people, we know that failure builds character, period. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. You know, you either push through it and learn, or you take it personally and give up. And the people that push through it and learn, that builds the tenacity and wisdom. That's the shit that counts. Those are my circle of friends.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm constantly learning from them, you know, through shit they've gone through, you know, and shit I've gone through. It's funny because I apply some of that wisdom now. You know, the kids are young. So my favorite thing I tell them is when they start acting like little a-holes, mm-hmm. is I always go, listen, you know, look at my gray hair. You can either listen to me now or find out the hard way later.
Yeah. Because listen to me now or believe me later. Yeah.
Right. It is my failures or lessons that I've learned that I can now start guiding others or helping others.
That's the best thing you can do is admit your failures. But there's a lot of people that are embarrassed about that. Oh, they don't want to talk about their struggles with this or that. But dude, that's the best thing you can do to pay forward to the next generation, especially your kids.
Oh, yeah.
Is to be honest about, hey, man, when I was your age, I was fucking up, man. I was losing it, chasing pussy, you know, whatever it was.
And you got to go through some of those phases. I'm not against those phases.
You do, but you can frame it in a way that kind of gives a direction for the kids. And especially the older they get, you got to take the guardrails off because they got to navigate life themselves. But you can still kind of be that little GPS in the back of their mind, like, hey, you might want to turn left here. Don't go down that road.
Yeah.
You know, but they have to make that decision ultimately.
That's a good point. Because listen, I want people to go down fun roads, but you know, mm-hmm. to your point where, you know, hey, we turned right and that wasn't cool. Maybe when you get to the left or right, go left. You know,
well, my daughter says she can hear my voice in her head if she's about to do something.
That's
stupid.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about.
Good. That's good. I'm glad I'm inside your brand group. That's good. But that's a conscience. That's a parent guiding you. And of course, I do give my kids enough slack as they're growing up to make those mistakes. Because again, even as a parent, the best teacher is life. Let them make those mistakes, but you keep them safe. You keep them in the right direction. You're not going to let your kid experiment with heroin and and see the life lessons in that. I mean, there's certain things you put your foot down on, but other things like, you know, dating and maybe things they wear to school that you're like, I'm not cool with that, but you know what? We can have a chat about it. Or I mean, I don't want to be that helicopter parent that hovers and just the older they get. Sure, if they're 10, it's a little more black or white, but when they're 18, 19, 20, you got to pull back a little bit and kind of guide them in a very specific way. And but the best teacher is life, is failure, 100%. Is success. They have to do that on their own. If you keep interjecting it as a parent, you know.
Well, you never let them actually, you know, live and learn. Or e.g. fail. They have to fall on their ass. Mm-hmm. You have to fall on your ass. And we should protect that. I think speaking of kids and children or younger generation, I think the saddest thing is you know, again, times have changed and some of these technology that's been introduced, stuff like that. I think it's probably the hardest it's ever been to be young because, again, the pressure on not to fail is probably at an all-time high. And again, they don't even need to see this at a conscious level, even subconsciously when they're looking at social media and things like this. And they see, you know, you're a teenage girl and you see all the images is, you know, the flat bellies and you know, everyone's looking like this and I got to do this and I got to do that. There's so many levels where they're looking at, am I a failure? Am I failing at my grades? Am I failing at not having these type of friends? Am I failing because I don't wear these clothes? Am I failing because I didn't make the varsity squad? Go down the list. And I think what we're trying to say is you're never really a failure unless you give up. You just got to reframe it and say, what am I constantly learning? Now, listen, if you're going on Instagram to learn, you're probably
in the wrong
using
area,
the tool
man.
The wrong way. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be comparing yourself. Even as adult, I see adults go down the rabbit hole of comparing themselves like, oh, well, Tommy just got a new Land Rover, you know?
Well, can you imagine, like, when you and I grew up, the only people we could compare ourselves to were real people in our lives, classmates, whatever, neighbor kids. Imagine now in this digital age where you literally can compare yourself to, like, every kid in the world. Mm. How overwhelming point. That has to be. How simple it was in our time. If you wanted to be strong and big, there was probably that one football player that you looked up to in high school
fridge.
Or whatever. Yeah, but now you go on Instagram or all these other platforms, and it's overwhelming. Like, how do you not feel like a failure? You know, in our day, it was still doable. even Tommy, the football player, you're like, oh, you know, maybe I could get as big as him. Like it was within reach because it was a real person, whatever. Maybe you even hit him up. Hey man, could you teach me to lift weights? I want to, you know, bulk up or whatever it is. Silly example, but
no, that's a great example. Think about it. Cause I can actually remember use cases like that. You know, here you are the scrawny freshman in high school mm-hmm. and you see the guys in the varsity squad. Well, you're all in the weight room. So you do go up to the guy I think of as a guy named Dan. I looked up to and, you know, little me, you know, Dan, can you give me some pointers? Can you spot me? Things like that? Dude. Yeah.
They'll do it.
He took me under his wing and he was like, he's like, hell yeah, little man, let's make you big, you know?
Yeah.
But now because these tools, they're not reaching out and chatting, going, hey, can you help me?
Exactly. Or if they do, they're gonna charge you for it. Yeah, if you subscribe to my Patreon account, I'll post some workouts for you. Like it's not even a genuine thing anymore. It's just such a shame.
I think the problem is it's not a question of people of being genuine when I help you. I think there's just too much distraction.
Sure.
For example, I would pay dollars and you know, whatever it is to get firearm instruction from you. Right. The problem is every asshole thinks he's a firearm instructor.
Oh,
right?
For sure. Yeah. Oh God, dude. Yeah.
Now you just have to be more on guard of, I guess, seeking those experts. But I think what we're trying to say is to the younger kids out there is you got to stop putting the pressure on yourself or in general. I think there's just so much pressure right now. And we were talking about use cases like this. It's like, okay, so inflation is out of control. Gas is up. So all of our wallets are shrinking. Right? Mm-hmm. Are the money we could spend. So Clark and I were talking about it. It's like, well, does this apply to everything? And we're like, well, let's think about it. Let's say the tradition was on a weekend, you go to the movie theater. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's say now all of a sudden you can't afford to take the family of four to the movie theater. Now, you could look at it as, oh my God, I'm such a failure. I don't have the right job. I don't make mm-hmm. enough money.
Get sucked into that.
No. Yeah. Well, why don't you say that'd be giving up, right? So let's learn from that. Be like, okay, fuck it. What's the point? What's the mission here? The real mission is to spend time with the family. Let's just go fucking watch a movie together at home.
That's what we do, yeah. So and it becomes fun. And then you go out and you buy a little sticky snackies at the store that don't cost you $50 like at the movie theaters.
Now, are you like a gummy, chewy dude or are you a chocolate dude?
It depends, man. I have little phases. I would say overall, I'm a chocolate dude.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I'll get in a little mood for gummies, like some dots like Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then sometimes I just feel like potato chips, man. I don't know. So I'll just get some potato chips. And
I need some like peanut butter cups and potato chips.
Yeah. That's what I get. Yeah. We all have our Kit little Kat. Things that we like. It's kind of funny. You know, my wife likes these little gummy frogs and. Well, my daughter's a teenager, so she pretty much likes anything sweet. But she has her preferences, and I kind of stick to my things. But then we share with each other, like, hey, I'll trade you one of these for two frogs and some gummy worms. But it's actually more fun because in the privacy of our home, there's more interaction mm-hmm. than sitting at a movie theater where you have to be quiet and face forward. You know, in your own home, you can be silly and laugh together at the movie or trade candies or hit pause and go to the bathroom. And so to be honest, I like it better. Now, it's still fun once in a while to go to the movies. But like you said, if there's a budgetary concern, there's always ways to reinvent yourself. When I was going through my first divorce, I was really financially strapped, but I had my kids every weekend.
Right.
So I had to get super creative with the shit we could do. I had to make it seem like we're having all this kind of fun, but it was on a shoestring budget. And that's just where a little creativity comes in. And I realized it doesn't cost a lot of money. Like we lived a couple blocks from the beach. We could walk down to the beach and spend the day there. That's free. But we just walk there and have fun.
What I love about this, again, it's you're taking perspective and maybe words we've heard, you know, such as failure or these other negative words, and you're reframing it. Cause, you know, it's the movies, it's all these things. You know, used to maybe, you know, you're eating steak every night. Okay. Oh fuck. I can't afford steak now. I'm such a fuck up. I'm failing. No, man. Yeah. Just okay. Cheers. Reframe it. You didn't fail. You know, what are we learning here? We're learning that Biden is not good at his job.
That is a definition of failure. Just look at the government.
Well, actually, the funny thing is, you know, I'm hoping he's learning. Okay, every day, but I don't think that's the case. I think
we're on the backside of that curve, man.
I think he's just given up. He just doesn't give a fuck. You know, think about it. He's been in government for 40 plus years.
Oh God.
Okay,
dude.
So what do? You just sit there in a chair. You twiddle your thumb.
Yeah.
You don't need to do anything. He's so used to not doing anything. He's just government. Fuck it. Give up.
What do they do anyway? Yeah.
Well, and again, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because we could go. I mean, you could solve problems. Okay. We've learned a lot of things what not to do and what doesn't work as far as policy and taxation, things like this. So when you decide not to do these things, you're either doing it because you're being malicious or you're just giving up saying, hey, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, so, I think that's a good point, man. If you want to see what giving up looks like, look at a politician.
Oh, what
do they do? Another thing I wanted to point out real quick, too, is as far as we were talking about social media and, you know, these different motivators and stuff. The one thing I want people to realize, obviously, I'm going to state the obvious, social media is not real life. And what I mean by that is you're only getting people's highlight reels. So if you're watching somebody shoot or someone play guitar or exercise, it's not genuine. Like when you and I would learn to lift weights with, you know, the football team or whatever, like that's like you're really seeing that person perform. It's a live performance. What I don't like about social media is it's someone's highlight reels. Yeah. They might have done something 10 times and picked the best video of those 10 to throw up there. What I like is when you see people's bloopers reels. Yes. That shows a little honesty. And I used to do that when I would shoot. I would show when I would fuck up or miss a mag change. But that was to show, like, yeah, for sure. But that's just to show people, look, everyone
you're fucks human. Up.
Everyone, but no one shows that. It's always these perfect clips of this and this, that whatever it may be. I like when people show the genuine shit, the fuck up reel. So realize, consider the source of your motivation out there as you're going along your journey. Yep. Yep. That's why I really am a big believer in personal intimate contact with actual people, because then you see what you see is what you get. Having conversations with people, hanging out with people, learning from people, you know, the online stuff. And it's just kind of like, I really just remove so many layers, and then it allows people to put these highlight reels in between you and them. And you just think they're these epic gods or these supermodels or whatever it is. That's just not, not all right. In my book, man.
No, it's not. Any last thought? We got some emails, some last thoughts on some, on failure.
No, just like we said, man, it's, you either win or learn, you know, you got to look at it that way. It's not win or lose. It's win or learn. If you can just wrap your brains around that. I mean, it's pretty simple. It really will change your perspective on your journey for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, be a veteran of failure. Be proud of it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the ranks you earn is based on being on the front lines and sticking out your neck and doing it every day without fear. So be very proud of being a veteran of failure. Show off that rank, right? And again,
show off your scars. Show off that you've gotten defeated and beat up and cheated. That's why I loved as a kid hanging out with old people, visiting my grandma and their friends and my grandpa and his friends, because you just knew they were veterans of life. And they were all wrinkled up and decrepit, but damn, they were smart.
I was just going to say that. You know, you want to see their ranks, look at their scars, look at their wrinkles, look at their gray hair. And the more they have
experience,
the more you can learn from them.
Talk to some old 80-year-old farmer in Nebraska. He'll tell you some shit about life, you know, working hard and, you know, it's good.
It's like that sea captain story, right? Do you want to take the young buck out with the newest technology, new boat, or you want to take the old gray sea captain out with his old rickety boat? I'm going the old dude.
I want the captain from Jaws, man. That dude, man.
Yes. Oh, shit. Shit, I can't remember that dude. Name?
I don't know, but they were singing that song out there, and he's fucking drinking and shit. He was so cool.
That was one of the best scenes ever.
I know.
I'm tired, dude. I want to go home.
And then the shark rams the side of their boat, and they're like, oh fuck. Shit. No, and that's the dude you want to go out to sea with.
Oh, fuck
you.
You
know? Not some fucking little. No. Fucking little skippy Harvard dude. Hey, I was on the road team, bro.
But I have the newest boat with the latest technology, the GPS. Yeah, GPS goes out, buddy, then what?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I'll take crusty sea captain.
I want crusty dude all the time. All right, my man. excuse me. How about this? While you get your email ready, I got something from YouTube. This is from MAGA. I told him that we would get to this. Nice. He says, "Hey guys, thanks for doing what you do. I have a question. If you guys have heard anything as far as biolabs that are being destroyed by Russia and Ukraine, and I know there's a lot of corruption between Ukraine and the U.S. with the Biden administration. I feel like the president of Ukraine has got a lot of skeletons in his closet, and not for his acting background, but his so-called comedy career of him dancing in high heels and playing the piano with his private part. I also hear he's in favor of the NWO, New World Order. When people like George Soros and others are saying defend Ukraine, something seems to be very fishy. Another thing I heard, as far as civilians are being made to stay and fight, nobody over the age of 18 or older can leave. Hope and pray everything comes to light. Stay safe, guys." MAGA, appreciate this. He's definitely referring to our last episode, the Ukraine one. So thoughts on that, biolabs?
Yeah, actually, it's funny that comes up, because Tulsi just posted a good video about biolabs, and she said that there's over 300 biolabs worldwide funded by the U.S. That kind of pisses me off.
Yeah.
And I think she said there's, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 of them in Ukraine that we fund. And that's disturbing to me. For one, how many fucking biolabs do you need to do whatever it is you're trying to do?
Zero.
I mean, yeah. And what's the purpose of this? The purpose of this is to make a weapon that fucks people up. Like, this is, especially after what we've just been through for 2 years, why isn't there a national/international policy? Hey, we're banning this type of research, period. Yep. There, nothing good comes from it.
Nope.
Somebody's responsible for almost 5 million deaths right now, and you're telling me we just now find out we're financing 300 biolabs worldwide? That's fucking sick. Like, we're stupid.
We are.
I don't know what this biolab shit is. It's some very sneaky shit that our government's been doing for a very long time under multiple administrations, under multiple political parties. So what's the point of this shit, man? This is fucked up, man. To be honest, I'd rather get nuked than have another fucking virus creep around that.
Yeah, no one wants to bleed out of their ears and their asshole and stuff like that.
Well, it should be, like, I know it's supposed to be against the Geneva Convention or internet, you know, yeah. You're not supposed to use chemical weapons in warfare since World War One or whatever the shit is. Then why are we, what's with this biological shit? Why isn't that under the same ban as this chemical shit? Like, why is this a thing? And why is it in the numbers? 300 facilities.
I think what's sad about it, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we, every country, including us, you know, it's not, there's not a, you know, clear good guy in this situation. The whole world are bad guys in this, because, you know, everyone has labs doing stuff like this. You would think after COVID, the world would get
together
and just say, listen, guys,
shut it all down, dude.
We don't need to do this. If something, heaven forbid, comes out of the wild, out of the jungle.
Well, that's nature.
Now,
but
I get, this is the fine line here, and this is what bothers me, is I get, you have to do some research, right? Because obviously what they're trying to do is let's look at this strand of something. If this was to come out of the jungle, or, you know, if this got really dangerous, how do we combat it? And I'm all about looking for cures and combat.
For sure. That's different than gain of function, though.
Right. Weaponizing.
Yeah, that's... Weaponizing. Well, the problem is, do you trust governments to stick with the preventive medicine research? Is they start fucking with shit, like a little meth head taking apart a TV. They just won't stop.
It's...
There needs to be some oversight and transparency with this shit. Like, okay, you know, obviously we're all about disease control, disease prevention, all that stuff, but we got to stop weaponizing shit. There should be an international outcry for this. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, there are rules and things like this, but I think the problem is, and there's no good solution, because if you think about it, it's like they have theirs, so we have ours. And we saw that with nuclear, all right? And it's kind of okay, we see this in bio, we see this in chemical, and now cyber. It's like, guys,
I know.
Can we just... Maybe just stop?
Well, I don't think we can, because, I mean, historically, mankind has been very violent towards itself.
Yeah.
Whether we use rocks and spears to kill each other, or nukes, or biological stuff, I just think that it's in our nature. I think we're just going to get to the point where we do. It's a self-extinction, and we're idiots.
Well, you know what, man? Maybe we just need to go back old school in this shit. Let's just get rid of all nukes, biochemical, cyber, all this stuff. Let's just go back to the days. Let's just line up on the battlefield and let's go fucking axes and swords.
I want to do naked karate, dude. Naked karate, bro, kicking dudes in the dick. Hey, who was it? Someone said, I don't know how World War III is going to be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Someone famous said that.
Well,
and I think it's true.
That's deep. Well, yeah,
right?
It's fucking deep, dude.
Well, dude, look at where we're at. We're going to wipe ourselves out to the point the people survive. We're going to kick our ass back to the Stone Age, man, because this stuff is just...
MAGA, unfortunately, there's no good answer, and fuck, this is way, way above our pay grade.
Well, there's so many. Yeah, there's so much. The last 2 years have been us pulling on a string to see where it goes, and it just keeps coming. I mean, every week, what I would advise him to do and anyone else to do is you got to stop trying to wrap your brain around a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
I got a buddy in Colorado. We do a lot of research and we try to dig into certain topics, but we also put the brakes on it because you'll go crazy trying to figure all this out. You know, what we were talking about, focus on your family, focus on what you can control. It's good to be aware of what's going on, but you can get sucked into these rabbit holes and why is this happening? Why is it the end of the day? What are you doing? You're getting your heart rate up. You're getting your stress levels up for shit that you'll never understand because it's so deeply woven into the deep state of newsflash. Every government is fucking corrupt. How do you think they become in control? A small group of people control a large group of people. You think they do it by being honest, fucking awesome people? No, they're assholes. Yeah. And they use power and leverage and money and force to control the masses. That's every fucking country. Yeah. Name one government that's like glorious. No, they're a bunch of rich pricks telling poor pricks what to do. Name a country, it's the same formula. Yeah. So my advice is don't get fucking wrapped around the axle with this shit. To be honest, it's nice to know what's happening, but don't lose focus on what you can't control. That's your friends, your family, your happiness, which we were just kind of talking about, keeping things in perspective. Because, man, if you get sucked into the news these days, holy fuck, man.
I'll say this. Yeah, it's kind of like the UFC guy said, you know, if the fight comes here, we'll dig in. And I say this about failure. We're not going to fail here. We won't give up. I guarantee you.
That. I don't care if it's an internal threat, external threat.
You come here.
Push comes to shove. There is something in our DNA. You know, our liberal friends may run up to fucking hide in Canada, but, you know, the liberals, the classical Democrats that still have balls and conservative folks and independent folks will dig in. Just, hey, any good red-blooded American, I don't care who you voted for. If push comes to shove, this is our fucking home. But don't make other people's problems your problems.
Yeah.
It's good to keep an eye on things, but don't get sucked into it. And with the way things are going, the fight might come to our shores. Be prepared for that, you know?
Yep. hopefully that helped.
I don't know what we just talked about, but hey, by the way, if you see my hat, and the world goes to shit, I'm going to take over the USS Shiloh and just float around out in the ocean.
Didn't they sink it, though?
No, the Shiloh's still going. But I was on the Shiloh, man. Of course
I know. I thought off Afghan. What do you call it? Pakistan. It was sold to Pakistan. No?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. We haven't had a warship sunk since World War II.
No,
man.
You know, sometimes they buy a ship in other countries to use it, and then when they don't use it, they use it as target practice, you know?
Oh, I got you. No, yeah. This one's still, I think it's assigned to Japan right now. Because I was hoping if it ever returns to San Diego, I want to tour it.
You should.
That would be awesome, man. Should. And not have to paint that fucker gray.
Can I come up aboard with you, but I dress like David Spade?
Yes. Guy Blow. Shots of wheatgrass.
For those that don't know we're speaking about, go watch Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy is awesome. Yes.
Do we have another email?
Oh, sorry. We got caught up in that one. Yeah, I was stoked, man. A buddy made this hat for me. I know you can't see because of the earphones, but it's got like the years and stuff that I was on board.
Oh, yeah. Look at that, man. That's solid.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Make sure I got the right email. All right. This one is from Mike.
Mike.
All right. This is going to test my reading skills. Mike wrote quite the email, but I want to read through it. Hey, guys, I enjoyed the podcast with Greg Anderson more than I thought I would. Truly a stand-up guy and a patriot. Today, I fired up the podcast on YouTube so I could hear something other than the news. You guys always have a good point of view that's interesting and thought-provoking. Your points on who's right or wrong, i.e. Russia, U.S., or whoever, is well taken. If Russia wanted to make Mexico or Canada a Soviet satellite armed with nuclear weapons, we would lose our shit. The corruption on both sides is off the charts. We were just kind of talking about that. Name a government that's not fucking corrupt. I honestly don't know who to believe about anything anymore. The propaganda is flying like monkey shit at the zoo. Oh, I like that expression. Yes, it is. I'm a certified firearms instructor in my state. I don't do a bunch of high-speed stuff. I just get people certified to get their concealed carry permits. I don't do it primarily for the money, so I'm pretty selective. And only do referrals in small groups that approach me via word of mouth. I like to think that I'm a good, pragmatic, beginning shooter instructor that will safely get you started in the right direction. My adult daughter approached me about teaching a class for her and some of her friends. I really like teaching women's classes only. They don't claim to know everything, nor do they come with a bunch of cowboy bullshit and baggage that they heard about on the internet. I know what you're talking about there, brother. God damn. Sometimes dudes working with dudes is just like, holy shit. The point here is that my hippie, vegetarian, natural fiber, organic food daughter is now looking at the world and saying to herself, this place is kind of fucked up and it's getting dangerous. I've had to have the conversation with her about what to have in a bug out bag, what precautions to take, nuclear exchange, power outages, civil unrest, and where our rally points are as a family, the entire contingency plan. How crazy is this world getting, and it gets that it gets to this point. She's a bit spun up on it, but I told her all we can do is be prepared for any possibility. You guys are great. I love the good humor and irreverence. It's like having some buddies on once a week to shoot the shit with. Keep it up. Appreciate your work. That's Mike. Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it, Mike. And I kind of touched upon that I had a liberal friend of mine reach out who was kind of anti-gun and was seeking some gun advice. And I think the way we see ourselves, especially in America, is outdated. You know, this red shirt, blue shirt, conservative, liberal. I think that we've evolved into like something else right now since COVID especially has hit. Yeah. I think we need to look at ourselves as fellow countrymen and figure out how we can help each other, because it's obvious our government doesn't have our best interests in mind. So we have to have our best interests in mind. It kind of reminds me, wasn't it the 90s, like the Crips and Bloods made peace and they had a big barbecue at this park. And it was kind of this anti-gang thing that happened. Well, because they realized we're just killing each other. So they had a truce and there was a big thing at this park in LA where they all hung out. And then I think they realized like that we're no different from them. You know, we're just wearing different colored shit. And that's the same with us, other than some of our ideas may be different, but a lot of those ideas are also from the past and how we were raised. But I think if we look at shit now, I think we need to realize if we don't take care of each other, we're in for a rough ride, man. We got to stop looking. This isn't a black and white issue anymore politically in America. We need to look at each other and say, hey, our government's fucking doing us dirty. Like, we need to start making some changes together. And I think that's in a lot of countries nowadays.
Yeah. And you know what, Mike, first and foremost, thank you for being one of those that are training people on how to properly use a firearm. That's very important, especially as we see more and more coming to that side of the force. So again, Clark and I have always been about that. If you have a firearm, learn to use it. And use it properly. So thank you for being an instructor. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Claire. I think what's scarier is it seems like the past 4 years globally, some of the mission from our leaders have been the old tactic, divide and conquer. They love us fighting, you know? They would rather us keep fighting and debating and being distracted.
Because they can do their nasty
exactly,
shit. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. How many bills have been passed that we're not aware of since Russia attacked Ukraine?
Yeah. So
I'm sure they're fucking slipping through, you know, because all the news is all Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine, Russia. So now all of a sudden Congress is in full speed passing bills and laws because we're distracted. We're idiots.
Yeah. So, you know, while we debate, you know, who's right, being a Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, you know, Russia versus this, it's you know, y'all.
Hey, the one
pause.
Thing I will say, I think most people around the world agree that Putin's an asshole and that Russia's aggression is it's kind of one of the more recent topics that we all agree on. Like everyone's like,
yeah,
kind of feeling bad for the Ukrainian people. Mm-hmm. I know there's conspiracy theories about the government on both sides, our side, everything. But if I think everyone agrees with the poor people of Ukraine don't deserve this.
No,
getting indiscriminately bombed and all this stuff. And so for I was like, man, if there's a silver lining, like my liberal buddies and I agree on the Russia-Ukraine thing, like Russia's wrong for doing this. Everyone does. And so it's kind of one of these unifying moments, which the pandemic should have been.
I was just going to say
it should have been, but it turned political.
What's the difference?
It turned political.
Jeez,
it was for about 2 weeks. Everyone kind of came together. We were all a little bit scared. Oh, fuck. Is this going to kill half the world? We don't know.
Well, we heard China. So there was, it's like, well, dude.
Well, why weren't we unified?
Exactly.
So, the world. Hey, Russia's an asshole. Why back then weren't we like China's an asshole?
Exactly.
No, can't say that. Oh, you're Asian phobic, even though I bang an Asian every night. Oh, you fucking hate Asians. You know, fuck. If my wife heard that, you don't bang. We bang like once a month. We've been married too long. We bang every night. You show off for your podcast. It's not true. That's right. I will. What were we talking about? Oh, like Goose. The highlight reel? You know? Yeah.
Oh,
poor Goose. But it's true, though. Why wasn't there that unifying moment back then of like, China's an asshole. They need to pay the price for this. Where all the sanctions being put on Russia, why wasn't that put on China?
Because the optics because don't match Russia's, up with the agenda, right?
Well,
because
Russia's using actual bombs, not this little virus that slipped out of the fucking wet market.
And killed how many people versus
4 million right people? Now? 5 million
exactly.
people?
Yep.
But
oh,
still,
no yeah,
oh, maybe
no
Russia
deal.
Can host the Olympics next time.
Oh, that
wow,
there you go.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, well, didn't they host it prior? They just got. Wait a second. Before China, Russia hosted it.
Did they? Oh, this is a weird connect. Why do we keep rewarding these a-hole countries, man?
Wait, didn't Russia host the Summer Olympics?
I don't know. Did they?
Fuck. I swear.
That would be creepy if they did. The Olympic Committee's up to something.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking these things. Why do I feel like it was just in Russia recently? I don't know. Who knows? I'm probably wrong.
That's funny.
So, but absolutely, the optics out there and everything else is it's out of control. And Mike, we do appreciate it. If this does, you know, get you away from the news and you laugh a little bit or you know maybe take a nugget or two and you know pass on some things like you're doing with your daughter or. You know,
yeah, that's
friends.
Amazing. And that and let that be a note to everybody, you know, take care of your family, but then also be that person in the workplace, be that person in the community, because as our government fails us more and more, we're going to have to take care of ourselves. And it starts with the family. It starts with your friends. It continues with your communities. We're going to have to take care of ourselves, man.
I love that.
Our government's checked out, man.
You know, it says it takes, you know, the saying, right? It takes a village. And we almost need to get back to that community aspect where, you know, your neighborhood or your friends, your circle, it does take a village. Like, how can you help each other? How can you build someone to be better? It's, you know, this guy's really smart at, you know, exercise and lifting weights and nutrition. Great. Please tell me something. Here's someone who's firearms. Here's someone. So I really hope it gets back to that type of community where, you know, you build your tribe, right?
Well, also digital platforms. Look at what we're trying to do through podcasts. Look at what some people do with social media. It can be a positive experience.
It could. Yep.
You know, so use whatever it is you're good at, you know, to take care of other people, influence people. Cause we need that more so than ever. The last 2 years has been weird. And I have a feeling the next 2 years
don't
are going to be even fucking weirder.
Well, dude, seriously, you know what I was just thinking about this morning, like when I was having coffee? I almost hate our New Year's episode because the joke has been, oh, I hope 2022 is not worse than 20.
I know. It's
fuck.
I don't even, I'm not even fucking with 2023, man. I don't want to see. It's going to be Sharknadoes and shit.
But the funny thing is every year I'm very optimistic. I was like, there's no fucking way it could be as bad.
Yeah.
Well, as long as some of these leaders worldwide are still going to lead until they're out of office, and it's not just one person, it's administrations.
Worldwide, we just got to revamp the governments. I mean, why, if we got good people in charge, why are there always assholes in charge?
Cody Cowden.
Yeah, right? We need more people like Tony and Eli and all that. And
DeSantis.
I think there's a, yes, yeah, he's, Ron's awesome. And I think there's a movement to make that happen. But that takes a while, you know. I mean, I just fuck. I don't know what to do. I mean, honestly, the problem is so big to wrap your brain around, but at some point the pendulum has to swing the other way and good people have to be in charge. Imagine a world leader that was a good fucking dude.
Yeah.
Why is that such a strange thing to think about? You know, I mean, I mean, there's people out there. I'm a big fan of Tulsi. I think she's awesome. There's a lot of people with good ideas.
Yeah.
It just, damn, dude. I don't know, man. It frustrates me. I think about that all the time. Like, why does it seem in any organization, in military, a lot of the leaders are assholes? In corporations, a lot of the leaders are assholes. It's like, why isn't there? It's nice to work for, like, the company I work for. The owner of the company is a cool dude. Well, he's actually a good guy. I mean,
here's the
it's
thing.
It's amazing.
I don't care if you're an asshole if you do your job and you do it well and you actually.
You have a good heart behind it. I don't care about your delivery. Right. That's why I like Trump. Yeah, he said some stupid shit, but I like what he did.
But the problem is,
his policies.
We have assholes and then just ruthless, reckless people. they suck. Right. Yeah. So
you can't be an asshole and suck.
Yeah.
You can be an asshole, but you got to be good.
No. That's not true, Clark. The only job in this world. Is you could suck at your job and be an asshole
and get reelected. It's
the only job in the world.
It is.
You know,
because we got to hold them to some standards.
If there was performance scoring, none of these assholes would have jobs.
If there was some type of genuine evaluation.
Oh my gosh.
You know, all these things that these corporations and companies, even the military does, they wouldn't pass any of these tests.
No. Oh gosh. You know what? We'll go on a tangent, but, so, Mike, appreciate it, but that's the emails, and so we appreciate it. This was a good one, man. I appreciate talking about this stuff today. It was a nice little break.
Yeah, it's important, man. No, it is. It's important, and you know, we try to keep it fun. You know, sometimes we get sucked into current events, and it's hard not
we
to.
Have
I mean,
to.
Fuck, especially nowadays, man. It's,
yeah.
The current events are so just paramount.
We have to voice our opinion. We have to put our spin on it, right? Otherwise,
of course.
It's just the talking heads doing their garbage. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We got to throw our hat in the ring and try to, you know, liven it up a bit and throw our two cents in there. So,
yeah, we got to put a Big Lebowski spin to it, you know? The dude.
That's right. Yeah.
This aggression will not stand, man.
And we need some dudes in government, man. How awesome would that be? Get some dudes in charge, man.
Dude, I want Lebowski, and then I want what's his face from LIVIN. You know, I need some from Dazed and Confused. I need
McConaughey.
I need McConaughey.
Yeah, imagine McConaughey as president.
Shoot, man,
dude in McConaughey, like just chilling.
I need to go to the war room, and he's just gonna play the bongos naked. I got the answer. Yeah,
smoking
man.
Pot. Boom, boom, hell yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, who's on the phone? Yeah, patch him in. Boom, 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 boom. All right.
No, I don't agree with you. Dude, agree.
We got to get McConaughey on here. Anyone know McConaughey? Send us an email.
He's
man.
Right here in my backyard, man. So
I know, dude. He seems like he might actually do it, man. We just got to catch him when he sparked one up. Oh, yeah, man. Good vibes. I'll be on that podcast.
All right.
we could never ask him about that quote because I'm sure he gets hit up all the time.
Oh, I'm sure it annoys the shit out of him. Anywho, good vibes, Vibe Tribe. Man, we hope you have a great week. Try not to tune into the news as much. It's just a shit soup right now, right?
Yeah, stick to porn and cartoons, man. Turn off the news. You'll be all right.
I love that. On that
cartoons
note,
in the morning, porn at night. Don't mess it up. If you do it the opposite, your day gets weird.
There you go, guys. Cartoons and porns. Clarky, with that nugget of wisdom, I'm out.
Peace out.
You have a good one, brother. Talk to you guys. Vibe Tribe later.